Welcome to the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast, a podcast where we bring on multifamily investors and discuss real estate and their journeys to financial freedom. Each episode, we deliver inspiring and educational content that will empower you to launch your real estate investing career and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, Kerwin Darnes. Hey guys, today on the show we have Dustin Miles. Dustin is a managing partner at Momentum Multifamily, which currently operates over 1,600 units. We had a great time talking to Dustin about his journey into real estate, the importance of finding good partners, and how he's managed risk as a multifamily investor. Let's get into it.
Thank you for tuning in with the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. This is your co-host, Jeffrey Darnes, alongside my partner and brother, Kerwin Darnes. Today on the show, we'll be having Dustin Miles. Dustin, do you mind introducing yourself to the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys. I'm living in Fort Worth, Texas. From here, went to UT Austin for mechanical engineering, and I was an engineer for quite a while. I started out, you know, I've always been pretty entrepreneurial. When I was a little kid, I had a candy business. I was 8 years old. My bus driver called me the Candyman. And so I was a lot of fun and kind of an introduction to entrepreneurship. But I had an e-commerce business in college, then did rentals and flips. Then I got into multifamily almost a decade ago. And I have 7 on the market right now, looking to build the portfolio back up. And then just kind of on the side, I'm on the board of Cancer Care Services. And run quite a bit. So if you see me on Instagram, it's either multifamily, running, my son, or hiking. So
that's awesome. I do see you running all the time. I love that. My brother and I are very into that running. You know, just kind of staying healthy. I think health is wealth, right? Just one of the main things is having that energy. And I see you're kind of keeping me going because you're running like what, at least 5 miles a day, right?
I'm a little bit lower right now. I'm about 20 miles a week, and then I'm about to start ramping it back up to about at least, you know, around 30 or so.
Awesome. Well, to kind of go into what you're currently doing, I know you mentioned that you guys have 7 on the market, and you have Momentum here. I don't know if you touched on it, but can you kind of go into how you formed Momentum? I know you're the managing partner, and I know your partner Hayden, who's already on the show. You guys are both managing partners. Do you mind kind of touching on that in regards to how you guys came together?
So met Hayden about almost 3 years ago now. And kind of prior to that, I had done deals with different partners and things like that. But Hayden and I have done one deal together, and it was you know, a pretty large deal. And so it's pretty cool that his first deal was almost $30 million. So, put together about $10 million in equity, and it's been a lot of fun. We are very similar in terms of our personalities and all that. We've taken a personality test, and like we're really very similar and skill sets. So kind of works out pretty well.
Yeah, I know you guys have other people on your team, but typically you'll hear people say you want to find a partner that maybe has a strength that's different than yours in regards to what you're good at and what you would enjoy doing. But obviously, you guys have had success. Do you mind touching on why that hasn't been a problem for you guys?
We actually had a webinar where we had someone analyze us. So it's kind of, I'm friends with the guy, so I was like, this, you know, this would be fine, but you know, it was interesting. But yeah, I think that, we're both, you know, in it for the long term. So I think that, you know, and then just in general, like we want to do the right thing, and we're both, you know, nice guys and all that. He puts forth, I'm just a high effort type of person. And so, I think we match, you know, pretty well, you know, from that perspective. And then, we're both, you know, we grew up playing sports, we're used to being on teams. And so I think there's a lot of similarities there. I've played soccer my whole life. He played baseball for a lot of his life. And so, being in a team environment, cause like, you know, we're talking large apartments, like it's, you know, it's hard and there's a lot of moving parts and it involves the team. And so this all feels very, very familiar being in a team environment and soccer game. Doesn't matter how good I am, I'm not going to win if it's just me. So you gotta learn to rely on other people. And
that's awesome. Yeah. We grew up playing soccer as well. So,
oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Definitely a team sport, like you said. And to kind of go into your role in your company, I know obviously there's a lot of different roles when it comes to putting together an apartment syndication, executing the business plan. I know that I saw that you were pretty much in charge of asset management. You also fulfill other roles, but do you mind touching on the importance of asset management?
Yeah. I mean, you want to buy right and all that stuff. But once you buy right, then, you gotta manage it or what you focus on grows or doesn't. So asset management's, crucial in that perspective. And so, we have a great management company and all that, but, our job is to keep them, accountable. We put the business plan together being fulfilled. So, it's, you can buy, I don't know I'm going to make up some analogy. Hopefully it works, but, if you can buy a car, but if you don't have a map of where you're going and all that, it's kind of worthless. It's really just kind of staying on top of everything and still being in that, team environment and treating everybody with respect. One huge compliment we actually got from from our staff that we worked with, on this latest property was, we've done a few things. We did a surprise staff lunch. And that's not something they were used to. We're completely redoing the office. We're buying all new furniture and we're including them in that process. And so we have a bonus structure and we want to hit certain goals. And so we're putting a bonus structure in place to help facilitate that. And they're super excited about that to them. It's like, cool. People can show up for the jobs and all that, but we're putting that carrot out there. So we want high performers that, are goal oriented. And so, we're helping to, cultivate that environment.
Yeah. No, and I'd love to kind of go. So as a passive investor looking at a potential syndication deal, right, you want to bet the sponsor. What do you recommend passive investors listening? How do they approach finding out whether or not the general partnership team is capable of managing the asset? Typically, there might be someone who's on the team who is focusing on investor relations. There might be some people who focus on the due diligence, the acquisition, that side of it. But the asset manager plays that key role in executing the business plan. What are some things that you want to see in a general partnership team to kind of give you more confidence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I invest passively with other people too. So I look for communication. So I've quite a few investments the past, over the past 10 years, but especially the last two or three. And, honestly, there's a few people that I've invested with, and these weren't multifamily, but it all applies, but their communication stinks. Honestly, I don't really care what their returns are. There's just no communication at all. And, on the flip side, I've had some people that communication's been like awesome. And, and frankly, their returns haven't been that good, but I've appreciated the communication of like, oh, this is going on. And, I'm more than likely, but if there's no communication and all that, to me, that's pretty frustrating. And so, And then, I mean, there's a lot of other things I look for when investing passively, but I think communication's a pretty key component.
Definitely. And to kind of go in to say that, I'm sure you've had some nightmare stories in regards to asset management. Do you mind kind of touching on one that stands out for you and maybe what you learned from it?
As much as people want to say it's all rainbows and unicorns, it's not. Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of, we're working with a lot of tenants. I had a tenant burn down the office one time. So that was, it actually worked out well because we hadn't remodeled the office yet. So I would have been a little more upset if I had already spent money on the office remodeling it, but he lit the, no one was hurt, so it was fine. But he torched the office, and so our roof was gone. And so we didn't have it in the budget to pitch the roof, but our roof was gone, so that was a good opportunity for us to go ahead and pitch the roof, because this is an older deal. It was a 70s deal, kind of like flat roof, the lower hanging ceilings. And so when our roof was gone, we got to pitch the roof. And so like when you walked in the office, like it felt very large and it has nice pitched roof and all that good stuff. And so that was kind of a nice, side benefit. We've had units flood before buying a property. We've had a unit catch on fire as we're selling a property. We've had to change out management companies a few times. So, there's always hiccups for sure. We had a utility company accidentally hit a water main, and we had no water, but that was fixed pretty quickly. So, it's just part of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really interesting. I think fires seem to be a common theme. but just curious, has an investor ever brought up like a potential concern for a recession occurring during the hold period of a property? And if so, what's your response to that?
I think over the years, the investment philosophy has changed, obviously as the economy and all that. So if we had a deal right now and someone's concerned about potential recession and things like that, at the end of the day, so we're buying it, in the past it'd been more, BC focused. Now it's kind of more AB focused. And, we're really focused on areas, focused on schools, focused on locations. So we're looking to buy in areas that are more, more resistant, during a recession. So we're looking, like I said, closely at schools and household income and crime and all that stuff. So that's more maybe it's micro level, but just from like a macro perspective, big believer in Texas, in DFW, DFW and Houston in particular, they've added more people over the past 10 years than any other metros in the country. And that trend is supposed to continue over the next 10 years. They haven't been able to keep up with housing. DFW's adding the size of Waco, which is about 120,000 people, adding that many people, per year. And everybody needs a place to live. And then on the side of, we're like, oh, well, you're buying newer, A class, it's not recession resistant, whatever. But, we're very opportunistic. We're buying like the deal that we just bought. It was built in 2012. And if you look at the market survey, it had the lowest rents of, there's another deal we're looking at. It's one of the newer deals, but it's one of the lowest rents in the area. And so, you know, we're very opportunistic, and you know, we kind of like the newer stuff. From a you know, if you're concerned about recession and all that, so it, you know, if a recession does come, you know, cap rates, you know, interest rates are going to, you know, stay low, and you know, anyways, but you know, from a newer asset per, you know, perspective, you're the A stuff, your exit cap rate band is going to be much tighter. B is, you know, you have a potential risk of it moving out further. And then C, if you look at, you know, a CBRE cap rate survey, you know, C has you're seeing C class deals trade for about a 4.5 cap, you know, in, you know, in the earlier 2010s and all that. You were seeing stuff trade around an 8 or 9 cap. So, I mean, that's a huge, I don't think we'll see that for quite a while, but that's a huge potential for it to move out. I don't think it moves out that far anytime soon. So,
yeah. And in regards to leverage on the deals that you guys are doing and taking down, are you guys staying under a certain percentage to mitigate risk in case of a recession, or?
We're not, but there's some other things that we're doing. You know, we look at, you know, not only, you know, what, so we're looking for most of the stuff that we're doing, day one at cash flow. So if we don't move income from the seller's T3, we're usually around 5% cash on cash. And so for us, that feels very safe. It's like, well, we're putting in, you know, normally 5,000 a door or more, and if we can't move income, worst case scenario, we get 5% cash on cash. That's not bad. The other thing you want to look at is on the back end, once IO falls off, you want to look and see what your cash flow or your debt service coverage ratio is. And we're typically about 4.5 to 5%, you know, once things falls off too. So we don't look at leverage per se, but we do look at, you know, what things look like, you know, if, you know, just kind of looking at worst case scenarios. So,
yeah, that's interesting. And I just, you know, wanted to kind of follow up on that. How has COVID and the economic impact of COVID affected asset management in multifamily real estate?
In Texas, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, you know, we had charities that could step in and help some, but I mean, for the most part, it was a pretty small percentage of our tenant base that were really affected. We had some people that we had assistance available. They just had to fill out a little bit of paperwork, and they basically just told us they're not going to do anything, and then we're going to have to evict them. And that's not what we, you know, want at all. At least us, I won't speak for everybody, but you know, we would never want to evict anyone. It's just not good for the community. Not good for anybody. And so, you know, but if they just won't do anything, then they're kind of, you know, tying our hands up. So, but yeah, but I mean, for the most part, it was initially, you know, last year we had, you know, we weren't really able to move rents a whole lot. We were on renewals. We were able to move rents there. But for the most part, for, you know, new leases, you know, couldn't really like push the envelope or anything like that.
That's awesome. So to kind of go into maybe your future goals for the rest of the year in regards to Momentum, I'm not sure. Are you just with Momentum, or are you also working on other deals with other companies?
No. Yeah. It's just Hayden and I, and, yeah, with Momentum. And, so yeah, we're looking to close, you know, 1 to 2 more deals this year. You know, we do different events and all that, and that's a lot of fun. We've been doing kind of some smaller in-person meetups. We do, online networking as well. And then, yeah, just like to collaborate, and, you know, we want to be a fun thing. We did that in Austin. We'll probably won't do it in Texas for a little while because it's so hot. but yeah, we'll probably do some other activities, maybe like in LA or San Francisco. So you know, go hiking, get out of the heat, and then go hang out with some people. So
awesome. So, Kerwin, if you don't have any more questions, we can start our express round. So to kind of jump right into it, I'll just ask you 5 questions, and you can pretty much tailor them towards business or your personal life.
Cool. Sounds good. Awesome.
So first one is, what is the biggest mistake that you've made in real estate, and what did it teach you?
Probably the biggest mistake was bringing a management company into an area where they didn't currently manage. Even though they had managed there in the past, it's really difficult. They don't have vendors and things like that already kind of set up, potential deals. You know, if that management company doesn't already manage stuff in that area, I think that's, you know, that's for me, that's a potential, you know, risk and red flag.
Awesome. What is your favorite book?
One book that I listen to books, just because with running and all that, but, the Big Rich is pretty interesting. So listening to that, Think Again by Adam Grant's been pretty interesting. I can't think of any others offhand, but, those are kind of I like the big Leap. There's a book, it's called Unf Yourself. I don't like the title because I think it's a little whatever, but it's actually a really good, I mean, there's a bunch of other books, but those kind of stick out.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have a best piece of advice that you've been given or that you would give someone?
I've given this a few times. So I, you know, just kind of, I don't think there's a magic potion with success or whatever that looks like to you. You know, if you're wanting to do something, whether it's multifamily or whether it's running or swimming or whatever, you know, go hire a coach or partner up with someone who's already doing what you want to do. And then it's the, Jim Rohn quote of you're the average 5 people you hang around. So then go hang around the people that are doing what you want to do. And then, you'll maybe if you don't succeed, whatever, but you know, your opportunity or chance of succeeding is pretty high. So,
yeah, that's great. The 4th question, what is a daily habit that you would accredit some of your success to?
I work out a decent amount, and I think that's pretty important. It's, it's a natural, just naturally releases chemicals that, kind of clear your head and also, put you in a good mood. And then it makes it, if nothing else, if I go work out early and it's like, okay, if nothing else, if other things don't really pan out, it's like, well, what'd you do today? Well, I ran 5 miles. Like, that's pretty good. So I like that.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And last question, if anyone in our audience wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
So feel free to add me on Instagram. I think my handle is just dustin.miles. So, and like I said, if you add me or whatever, it's going to be running multifamily, my son, or hiking. So,
awesome. Well, we really do appreciate your time, Dustin. It was awesome getting to meet you, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today on the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. Make sure to visit our website at www.donisinvestmentgroup.com/monopoly, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you got value from this episode, we'd appreciate a good rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Be sure to tune into our next episode. Until next time, take care, guys.